and mercy triumphed when the third day dawned. And darkness was denied when the stone was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things. Things in your name, they shall be done. Yeah, yeah. Nothing is impossible for him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. The will shout your praise for. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. And we'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be.
Is he unstoppable in your life? Do you believe he's an unstoppable God? Hallelujah. He's unstoppable. Nothing can hinder him. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can slow him down from bringing you out of bondage, bringing you out of chaos, bringing you out of situations that only God can bring you out of. Amen. Hallelujah. He can bring you out of sin right now. He can bring you out of every situation. He can deliver you from sickness. He can deliver you from disease. Amen. Hallelujah. He's unstoppable. Hallelujah. We want to welcome all of our guests here today to Calvary Gospel Church. If this is your first time here, we're just so happy that you're here. We have a small gift for you, and we'd like to give that to you at the kiosk. There's just a little card we'd like for you to fill out. It's our guest card. Yeah, it's our connection card, and we're just happy that you're here worshiping. We hope you feel the Lord right here, right now today. We hope you feel God here, and we want to serve you as best as we can. We have many ministries and many connection groups and many Bible studies and things you can be a part of, but the priority on our hope list for you today is that God would you'd have an encounter with God that you would not forget. And I hope that's happening for you today. You may be seated for just a few moments. Hallelujah. I feel God here today. I want to remind you of some giving options. You can give four ways at Calvary Gospel Church. You can give online on our website at ccmadison.org/giving. You can also give in person. There's a small plexiglass box in the foyer. You can just drop your offering in there if you'd like to give in person. You can always give by mail, and many of you do. Send your tithes and offerings into our street address, 5301 Commercial Avenue. You can also give by mobile giving on our Church Center app. I just helped someone download the app today. If you haven't downloaded the app, just go to your Google Play Store or your Apple Store and then type in the words Church Center. And it's, once it's downloaded, you can just follow the prompts, select the location if you're here in the building, and it'll bring up Calvary Gospel Church. You'll just enter in your phone number and a little security code, and you'll be in our church calendar. You'll be able to see all of our events and all of those things. But in that, you can also give through mobile giving. And I just, I'm happy, so happy that we have this awesome resource at Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. We have a few announcements. Next Sunday, October 16th, is our men's ministry service at 6 p.m. And so our men get together once a month, and we'll be getting together in the sanctuary. And so we'll be back in the sanctuary. We typically, through the summer, we'd have our events outdoors and do a big cookout, but we're running out of daylight, so we need to move back indoors. So we'll be back in the sanctuary 6 p.m. October 16th, and we're excited for that. Now, in 3 weeks, I need everyone to listen to me really closely. In 3 weeks, October 30th, is our Holy Ghost Sunday. Amen. Our Holy Ghost Sunday. And so it's going to start at 11 a.m. Sunday, October 30th, and Sister Vicki Vernon, who's no stranger to us, but she's one of our saints, but she's an international evangelist and speaks all over the world, and hundreds of people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and get baptized under her ministry, the Vernon's ministry, and she'll be speaking for us Sunday, October 30th. This is a great time to reach out to your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones, your coworkers, your classmates, anyone who's in your circle of your life, and invite them to come to church with you October 30th. Amen. And at this time, I'm asking Sister Brittany Waters if she'll come up. She shared a testimony with us a moment ago in the pre-service meeting, and I asked her to tell you all what's going on.
Praise the Lord. So many of you know me and my family. I have a younger sister. Her name is Leandra. Her family is a military family, so they're stationed in Texas currently. Some of you may have saw my father's post or my sister's post, but she's been dealing with a lot of issues, neurological problems and stuttering and pain, headaches, all kinds of stuff. So over the past year, 6 months, year, she's been seeing different doctors and all kinds of stuff. Well, about a month ago, she reached out to the family and she was like, they're wanting to do brain surgery. And we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't go from like, I have a headache to brain surgery. That's pretty severe. And so she was explaining this procedure where they wanted to go in, and she was like, I'm going to have to cut all my hair off. And she was just like in this very big, you know, it was a very hard time. And she said, she's like, I'm just, you know, someone needs to come be with me and blah, blah, blah. And so we're going through this, and my dad just said, you know what? We're not going to accept this. Like, we hear our whole lives God heals, and he can, and he's our savior, right? So my dad very simply, I mean, he wasn't like, we're taking 6 weeks and we're going to go before the throne of God. He said, Thursday afternoon, everybody fast. Everybody fast a meal. Everybody in the family fast a meal. And we did. And then he's like, okay, at 7 o'clock Madison time, because we're all over the country, we're all going to pray. And Kirby and I, I'm just going to be honest, Kirby and I sat down with two little kids, a six-month-old and a three-year-old, and it was 15 minutes, y'all. Like, it was like, okay, God, we're here, we're all together in unity, and we're believing, right? So she went for a follow-up with a secondary neurosurgeon, and they were planning to schedule her appointment, and he said, I'm not really sure why they sent you to me. So she had something called Chiari malformation of her skull. And it had been there, they said, probably since birth. And it had just started causing issues as she grew and as she became an adult. And the two doctors before him said, it's here. She has the scans that show it. And she went in last week, I think Wednesday or Thursday. And he said, I don't know why you're here. We took these scans today and there's nothing wrong with you. So it's not only a testament to the greatness of our God, right? Hallelujah. The greatness of our God, our healer, our victor, our savior. But it's a testimony to the power of unity, right? The power of coming together in one mind and one accord and saying, God, we're asking you for this because we know that it's what you desire for your people. So this time, Pastor Peter is going to come up. Not sure what he has next, but just move forward in that spirit of unity, of this is what we're asking for, God.
Thank you, Brittany, for sharing that. Man, God is unstoppable. He is unstoppable. That is an awesome story. That's the stuff we can't forget about. You can't leave tomorrow or today and go back to the day and day of your normal stuff and just, oh yeah, there was that person, that thing happened. That's big stuff. That's awesome. That's God working in our lives. Man, God is good. I am excited. Whew. I'm up here for a special announcement. But before I do, I don't know if you know this, but it's also Brittany's birthday. Today. Yep. Yeah. So happy birthday, Brittany, from the church. But I have a special announcement. On October 23rd, that's 2 weeks from today, we are going to be having a special Sunday school service over there. It doesn't affect anything going on in here. But we're calling it Super Church Sunday. And it's going to be probably once a quarter moving forward. But the 23rd of October is our first Super Church Sunday. And what does that mean? What does that look like? It looks like you're going to check your kids in like normal, just before 10 or at 10, whatever. And they're all the ages are going to be in the main fellowship hall for a huge, awesome service with games and fun and puppet shows and snacks. And it's going to go from 10 till noon. So in that little break, you can shake somebody's hand. You don't have to pick up your children. You know, if you have additional questions, you can ask me or brother and sister Matt, brother and sister Brandon, Arian, Matt. She's in the back there. We're super excited about bringing this back and having all the kids together and just having a great time of worshiping God. And the topic for the children is that my God is so big and so awesome. It's going to be a great time. We're excited about it. So in 2 weeks, drop your kids off like normal, your children off in Sunday school, and leave them for both services. They're going to have a great time learning about God. Can you stand with me this morning? We serve an awesome God, an unstoppable God, an impossible God. I had to explain that to my four-year-old. That means he could stop the Hulk. That made sense, right? But the story, it means he can stop whatever thing is coming against our bodies. Some physical ailment, right? Some mental ailment, some emotional thing. God can heal us and make us whole. And so let's worship him in that vein today. You know, before we start to worship, we're gonna pray. And I have a special request along that same lines. Brother Jay Henry, in pre-service prayer this morning, he shared that one of his friends was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We're going to do what we've been doing with every other person, every other friend, every other member and family of Calvary. We're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would heal him and let God have his way. So let's pray for this service. Let's pray that God continues to move in your heart and in my heart. And let's pray for Jay Henry's friend. Thank you, God, for today. God, thank you for that awesome report, for what you're doing in the Powell family, for what you did in Leandra, God. You are a great, impossible, unstoppable God. God, Lord, we come before you today for Jay's friend. God, Lord, the brain cancer, whatever it is that's coming against it or causing it or in it, God, this family, we bind together and pray for him. And we continue to pray for him, God. We cast out that cancer, God. We claim that it has to be gone. And we claim a complete and total healing and wholeness in his body. God, Lord, we pray for this service, God. Lord, continue to work in our hearts and minds. Continue to work in every single person here. God, you're growing us all. You're reaching us all, God. You're drawing us all to you, God. Help me to be closer to you today. Help me to hear from you and understand what you have today, God. We worship you, God, for who you are. We worship you, God.
How many of you are ready to shout some walls down this morning? Amen. Thank you.
God, my King, how your freedom washes over me and brings new life, brand new grace.
Brand new grace.
And I will bring an offering. Take all I have, take all of me in reverence to your majesty. How your freedom washes over me and bring new life, brand new grace.
Brand new grace.
And I will bring an offering. Take all I have, take all of me in reverence to your majesty.
broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free.
I feel a powerful presence of an almighty God in this place today. It is so great to be here. I say that because we've been gone for 2 weeks. And a lot of our folks have been at conference, so we've kind of been scattered. And it's just so great to be back home. And you can be seated this morning. And I just want to, we have here with us today, Brother and Sister Hart. I think as long as I can remember, and that goes back all the way into the 70s, Brother and Sister Terry Hart have been visiting Sister Jody Armstrong. And it's so great to have you folks here visiting today. And Sister Jody has been, I think, as long as I've been to Calvary Gospel Church, Sister Jody Armstrong has been here. And we love and appreciate Sister Jody. We love our elders, the consistency of our elders, and I appreciate that. I probably didn't value it so much when I was younger, but you get a little bit older, and your value system kind of changes, doesn't it? And it's also, though, great to have the newest member of Calvary Gospel Church, little Lydia Tesh, proud mama and papa. Tesh back there, it's so great to... Congratulations to you and to Sarah and Michael. It's so great. And then also we have Sister Raquel Henry. Her family is here up from Killeen, Texas, visiting. And it's so great to have them visiting with us. And Brother, next week, I haven't talked with Brother Seidel on this, but we'll take care of this over the weekend. I want to... Brother Seidel and Brother Simmons attended conference, and I just wanted Brother Seidel to give us an update, and we usually do that. He went in our stead this year, and I'm so thankful that he was able to go, him and Sister Seidel, and enjoy it, a great conference down in Florida. And it's so great to have them back and the Simmons back. And then also my wife and I, we were up at camp for 2 weeks. Many of you know, Brother Jerry mentioned this in our earlier session, that my wife and I, we're responsible. We oversee all the maintenance and all of the new projects that are being done to our campground. So we have a number of things in transition right now. Many of you may have heard that Brother Gary Wilkie, which has been our caretaker for 31 years, is retiring. So we're in a process of putting on a new caretaker. But also we had the cedar dorms. How many of you ever stayed in the old single dorms up there? Okay, those are all being gutted out and remodeled. And so we're thankful for that. Brother and Sister Rossing, along with the crew, stained all the material to put all new beds, all new furniture and furnishings in those rooms. So that's 12 rooms will be done this spring, and then we'll do 12 rooms next fall, and then again into 2023 or 2024. So it's on a 2-year schedule. And those rooms, if you've stayed in them in the past, just so you don't lose your marbles when you step in there, it's all going to be just bunk beds because of building codes that have changed. We can have no bed larger than 36 inches. So they use those rooms for junior camp. Use them for senior camp, and then also for family camp, and then our Spanish camp, and then our men's camp. So all of our camps use them, but the rooms are going to be a little bit configured, a little bit different. But we also built a new office for our district secretary while they're up. They spend a lot of time up there over the summer months, so we put a new office in for them. And then the hospitality room, which a lot of things have shifted since COVID. After service, typically in the past, they would take the evangelist out to dinner to the local Perkins, which was the only restaurant that stayed open past 8 o'clock. You have to understand, in Shawano, when all of the tourists go home, the city drops drastically in, kind of like the Wisconsin Dells, drops drastically in population in the fall and the winter months, and the restaurants are no longer staying open. Number one, they're having a hard time finding personnel. And so we are expanding the hospitality room, and they're actually providing meals there for the evangelists and guests and such right there at the camp. So we expanded the hospitality room, and then also we put in a check-in cabin. So when you drive onto the campground, the first thing you're going to notice is a nice new check-in slash security building that is really kind of a small little quaint cabin. And so we built that and put that in and got it all wired up, and we'll finish that off in the spring. So that's kind of what we have been up to over the last 2 weeks up at camp. We did take one day off last Tuesday, and my wife and I, we have one of those side-by-side UTVs, I think what they're called. And we rode from just about 10 miles north of Shawnee all the way up to about 30 miles from Rhinelander. So it was kind of a long ride, and it was all on dirt trails. And I've never, ever, ever seen my wife so dirty. I was laughing at her. I'm like, honey, you look almost like Brother Claude. And not that Brother Claude's dirty, it's just Brother Claude, he's from Burkina Faso. He's not here. He's our Spanish or our African international pastor. But we were covered from head to toe, and then of course we brought all of our dirty clothes home, and my wife's shaking them out, and we brought some dirt from all over northern Wisconsin and retransplanted it. But anyway, nevertheless, we're here today, and it's just great to be home. And I am so excited. I want to start a series this morning, and I really want you to pay attention, I guess. Of course, I guess every message you want to pay attention to, but I feel that this is probably one of the most practical series that I've probably ever put together or preached, but it's the hardest to master. And I believe that if you can master this principle that we're going to talk about over the next few Sundays, if you can master this principle, you can live life as God intended for you to live it. And in this principle, it's the principle that Adam and Eve violated. And because they violated this principle, it's because of the violation of this principle that brought sin into this world. So when you think about that, it's a very simple principle, but it's a very powerful principle and a very difficult one to master. But we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks about setting spiritual and physical boundaries in your life. Now we're going to read from Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 will be our passage scripture. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, his delight is found in the law or the principles of God's word. Now I'm paraphrasing just a little bit there. Sometimes we lose this in the translation of King James, but it's saying his delight is in the principles found in the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate, or God's law doth he meditate. God's principles does he apply to his life every day and every night. That's pretty potent. It's easy to say, but it's much harder to do. Now, if you follow these, this is how a lot of God's principles, almost all of God's principles are this way. It gives us the challenge, and then it gives us the reward if we follow the challenge. So what is the reward for this following this principle? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's a pretty sweet deal. So basically what I'm going to be teaching over the next few weeks is if we take and can master setting the right boundaries in our lives, both physical and spiritual, and we delight in that. We don't look at it grudgingly, but we delight in that, and we meditate on that, and we apply it as such, Then our lives will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit. We will have fruitful lives. We will have productive lives. And whatever we do is going to prosper. I like that. I'll never forget the first time that I teed up my first golf ball on a golf course. This goes back many years. Brother Perry Hicks and I, believe it or not, used to golf a lot together. Perry Hicks was a phenomenal golfer. The last time we golfed at Yahara Golf Course, Brother Perry Hicks parred the course, which means if you're a golfer, that means you did really good if you par, okay? And I was like, I got like the score if I played like 72 holes, rounds of golf. It's 19, you play 19 is one round, and 36, and then 72. So whenever I played, I would play like I was playing 72 holes, but I was really only counting 19. So we're at Yahara Golf Course here in Madison. And you go drive up to the golf course. It looks so inviting. You have the wide open fairways, lush green grass, straight line of trees right down. It's how difficult can this be? A beautiful water hole. They had sand traps on the left. And all you have to do is hit that little ball on a tee, basically on the end of a pencil, a little ball, and you have to hit it straight between the sand and between the trees, and you have to stay out of the weeds. Everybody else makes it look so simple. It can't be that hard. So you get up and you're thinking it's a breeze, pretty simple. You just hit the ball straight. Now, understand, golf, it's not like baseball where that somebody's throwing a ball at you at 90 miles an hour and you have to hit the ball. It's not like a hockey puck that's flying across the ice at 100 plus miles an hour and you have to stop that puck and control that puck and send it off in another direction at 100 miles an hour. It's not like football where you have 11 guys when the quarterback says, hike the ball, and he hikes the ball to the center, and you have 10,000 pounds of humanity trying to crush you. All you have to do is hit a stationary ball off the end of a pencil. It's not moving anywhere. It doesn't sound that tough, does it? Well, it's a little ball, it's a big club, it's a wide open fairway right down the middle. And I found out my experience in golfing, the hardest place to keep the ball was right down the middle. It's marked by white stakes, you have boundary lines. If you go out of bounds, you have penalty strokes. I marked up, I racked up more penalty strokes. I started off with 12 brand new golf balls. I bought a box at the clubhouse. I thought, 12. I'm playing 9 holes, 12 golf balls. Shouldn't be a problem. I was borrowing golf balls before I was done. I lost them all. You get a penalty stroke for losing a golf ball, you know. I found some, though. But they don't give you your penalty stroke back because you found a ball. I discovered new species of plants that I never knew existed could grow on golf courses. I found out that gophers love golf courses, that geese love the water holes in golf. I got my money's worth playing golf. Now, we can look at this and we can laugh about all of this, but sometimes life can be a lot like golf. How hard can it be? My life is right in the center of a massive, massive sod field. All I got to do is get from point A to point B in a straight line. And life hits us. as life sometimes hits us. And listen, I can drive the ball 250 yards that way. I've never seen more spin on a golf ball than when I hit the golf ball. It looks like it's going perfectly straight, and then it just gets so far out, and that spin takes off, and it's hard to believe what a spinning ball will do in the air. I think if they took all those little dimples out of the ball, it wouldn't do that. But it goes like this, and then goes like this, and then I'm looking over here, and I'm like, no, that's past that fairway. I'm three fairways over, and I'm yelling four as loud as I can, because good Lord knows where that ball's going. Life can be a lot like that at times, can it? So we're going to take and we're going to learn here some principles that will determine knowing where the boundaries are in our lives and then staying within those boundaries. As humanity, we don't like fences, do we? We don't like people to tell us you can't do this or you can't go there. But that's what gets us into trouble so many times. You see, knowing where the boundaries are and staying within those boundaries, both penalty and punishment, can await those who ignore the boundaries that are built into the very fabric of our lives. Adam and Eve ignored God's boundaries. Think about this. God said, Adam, Eve, everything in this garden is yours. It's all yours. It's like God saying, everything within Dane County is yours, except for this one tree. That's mine. Don't eat of it. Don't touch it. Stay away from it. And what do? We eat it, or we touch it, we eat it, and we violated a spiritual principle. We crossed a boundary. And there are consequences. There's penalty and punishment for those who ignore the boundaries that God placed into the very core of our being. We live in a society in which one is expected and encouraged to live without boundaries and without limits. Do what you want, but don't tell me what to do. It's very hypocritical to say, I'm going to do what I want, and you're going to like it, and you're going to have to suck up to it. We live in a world today that is no boundaries. The sky's the limit. You can live how you want to live. You can do what you want to do. Don't question me. We often read of successful CEOs that cross financial boundaries and they end up going to jail as a result of that. More of our politicians, listen, if our politicians, every time they lied in court, had to go to jail, our jails would be full of politicians. We can go to jail if we lie in court, but you see, the United States, the president can be impeached for crossing legal boundaries. Our marriages can be destroyed by a spouse crossing various sexual boundaries. A ministry can be disgraced when a pastor crosses a moral boundary. We need boundaries in our lives. We need boundaries in our lives. We have boundaries in the physical world. We walk out of here. You're going to walk out of here on a sidewalk. You're going to step off the sidewalk onto a curb. Do you realize that a curb is a boundary? It's to keep you from just randomly driving on the grass. You came here to church this morning, and whether you know it or not, you followed two color boundaries. Everyone that got here had to deal with these boundaries. On the outside are white lines. On the inside are yellow lines. The yellow line tells you you don't cross the middle of the road. That's the middle. When it's striped, it means it's free. You can pass. You can cross the boundary. Did you know that? When if there's a single yellow and a stripe and it's on your lane and you're a single yellow, it means you can't pass. If it's a double yellow, it means both lanes can't pass. You see, you learn to drive within those lines. If not, you have a lot of accidents. Now on the outsides of the roads, they're putting those little rumble strips in because people ignore the white lines. So now they have to hit that little strip that goes. You're driving along, it's all peace and quiet, you're listening to your favorite tunes, and all of a sudden, you know what that's telling you? You just crossed a boundary. We see signs, no trespassing, keep off the grass. We have walls. People say, I don't like walls. I like walls because when I go to the zoo, I want to make sure that that lion is on a wall that he can't jump over. We have moats. We have trenches. Some of those moats that put alligators in them. What's that telling me? If I look at a fence and it says, no trespassing, keep out, and I see a moat and it has alligators in it, and I see a wall that has a tiger on the other side, it's telling me that these are boundaries to keep people, stupid people, from crossing. But how many of you have seen on YouTube the stupid people? They want to get a little closer. They want to throw. They want to feed out of their own hand the elephant, the banana. Manicured lawns or hedges. It tells me sometimes we're, even though there's not a physical fence there, it tells me that there's a boundary. When I come to a change in the grass, a change in the terrain, and I can see these. A few weeks ago, I got up. It was early in the morning, and I heard some noise outside. And I look out, and there's a truck and a trailer parked in my driveway, and a guy's unloading a four-wheeler. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And I'm just watching, and he got on it, and he drove off. But he left sitting in the middle of the road a tripod with a laser on top of it. And I'm like, oh, they're surveying. So I went out to talk with them. I found out that right in the very corner of my driveway is a boundary. There's a pin in the ground. And it marks the corner of our section, which I believe, Brother Dave, is 40 hectares is a section. And you can look all that up or ask Brother Dave, but I had no idea. I'd lived in that house for 15 years and didn't realize that I had a very important boundary marker right at the end of my driveway. And they dug it up, sprayed it pink, said, we're doing this all over the county. So boundaries are necessary for humanity to operate with any level of society or decency. We have to have boundaries. Now, these are physical boundaries, but we also live in a spiritual world. I've said this before, we're body, we're soul, and we're spirit, aren't we? Our bodies, we have physical boundaries, then we have spiritual boundaries. Boundaries in the spiritual world are just as real, but they're often much harder to see. Boundaries define us. Boundaries define what is me and what is not me. A boundary shows me where I end and someone else begins. Boundaries show us what we are responsible for and help us define what we are not responsible for. Setting up healthy boundaries. They are biblical. This is a biblical principle. If they are taught, I thought that it might be worth covering why boundaries are so crucial in our relationships. I've talked to a lot of people as of lately, and they've talked and they've been struggling with this very thing. So we're going to look at why setting healthy boundaries is something that God wants and desires all of us to do. All of us to do. Boundaries are not something that God designed to restrict us or to constrict us in our lives and in our ministries. Boundaries tell us what our responsibility is. Hear this now. Boundaries tell us what our responsibility is and what someone else's responsibility is. Case in point, I am not responsible for your child. You are. You had them. I will not cross the boundary. Now, I will do my responsibility as a pastor, but it's not my responsibility to teach the Word of God to your children. You are, Dad and Mom. It's your responsibility. I enforce that. I enforce that. You are the priest of your own household. So when we look at this, we're going to start with Galatians, and I'm not going to get very deep into this. I know it's 12 noon, and we're going to be finishing up here very quickly. Galatians 6, 2 through 7 is a great passage of Scripture that talks about boundaries. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this is a very, very critical, crucial passage of Scripture because we sometimes get this mixed up. Okay, so follow me. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Each one should carry their own load. Now there's a difference here. We have burdens and we have loads. Okay, now I know what the King James says, but I'm reading from a different version here. I didn't write that down, and I apologize. But there's a distinction between burdens and load. So nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, we talk about reaping and sowing. This principle was instituted on the third day of creation, the law of sowing and reaping, or the principle of sowing and reaping, when God created plants. He says, you know what? Apple tree, go make more apple trees. Pear trees, go make more pear trees. Corn, make more corn. Wheat, make more wheat. That's the law of sowing and reaping. If you only plant one seed, you get less. If you plant multiple seeds, you get more. So the principle of sowing and reaping, God set this up. God set up the world so that our actions have consequences. Don't you hate that? Think about it. Actions have consequences. And we're supposed to bear those consequences. It means I should not be responsible for your actions. You should be responsible for your actions. But don't we live in a world where those that don't want to be responsible for their actions want everybody else to be responsible for their actions? So if we take responsibility for things that aren't ours by not having boundaries, we can inadvertently put a roadblock into one of God's best teaching instruments that he has for us, and that is, you reap what you sow. Parents are really good at this. Oh, I don't want my child to suffer. Let him suffer, or we'll all suffer. We're all suffering now because I'm getting off script here, and some of you may get mad, because we wanted every child to participate and every child to be a winner. Listen, in real life, there's winners and there's losers. I'm sorry, that's how it is. I'm not playing for the Green Bay Packers because I wasn't good enough. I'm not playing in the PGA next to all of those golf greats like Tiger Woods because I can't hit a ball straight. But bless God, I want a trophy for it. I want a green jacket for it. I deserve to be a winner. No, life has consequences. I can't buy a $20 million yacht because I can't hit a ball straight. Boundaries. We live in a world where people have no boundaries. God never designed or intended us to operate this way. Let's read verse 4 and 5 again, and I'm going to close with these thoughts. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. You see, understand something. We are responsible for our own stuff. You get that? You are responsible for you. And as a parent, until your children are 18, you're responsible for your offspring. And then maybe then some. But when you think about this, we're supposed to carry each other's burdens. That's what the scripture tells us, carry each other's burdens. But there's a difference between a load and a burden. And this is one of the principles. This is part of this principle that we need to understand. We're supposed to carry each other's burdens, but we're supposed to carry our own loads. Think of a load as something that is more manageable, okay? Your day-to-day, what you have to do every day, your daily to-do list is a daily load. We're not talking about hauling in the groceries here. We're not talking about helping you carry in a sofa. Understand, a burden is something that has been placed upon you. We're going from a load to a burden without any wrongdoing on our part. So we have families that have children that have autism. That's not a load, that's a burden. Okay? We have families that struggle with aging parents that have Alzheimer's. That's not a load, that's a burden. Growing up in abusive home is a burden, not a load. A load, on the other hand, is something that you have picked up on the road of life and you've chosen to carry. We following me here? We're talking about setting boundaries. We're not going to cover this all in one lesson. We're talking about setting boundaries. Even though it has made your way harder and more difficult, you choose sometimes to pick up loads. I remember years ago, and I'll end with this, years ago in our Christian school, we watched a video, and it was very, very it had a very impact in my mind, and they were talking about monkeys. Dr. Howard, which was the head of the ACE school system at the time, was talking about picking up monkeys. And I began to think about that, and we do this in life. We go along life's road, and we see a load. We see something, and we just pick it up. It's not our responsibility, but we pick it up anyway. And we put that on our back, and we go to the next, and we pick it up. We go to the next, and we pick it up. Pretty soon, we have a whole barrel of monkeys. And those monkeys get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we get fatigued, and we get wore out. And we struggle because we've picked up things that aren't ours or we shouldn't pick up. We're talking about boundaries. Talking about boundaries. So let's stand here this morning. Galatians 6:5, for every man should bear his own burden, but each should carry their own load. Yet over and over through the years, I find myself ignoring this command. Only to be at times taken advantage of. You don't want to tell someone no. Listen, I've gone to help people move. I remember we went to help a lady in the church years ago to move, and she sat in her bedroom, and everyone was expected to just carry everything out. Some of the brothers says, what should we do? I said, let's go home. I didn't come here to pack her stuff up. That was supposed to have been done already. Some of the guys stayed. I went home. You could say, well, that was kind of rude. No, it's kind of rude asking people to come help you move, and you get there and nothing's packed. You know, Brother Rico, if you want me to come to your house and help you cut wood, I'll come help you cut wood. As long as I know I'm coming to help you just chop wood. But if I got to go out and I got to find a tree and I got to cut that tree down and I got to pay somebody for that tree because it's not your tree, we go through life and we pick up other people's messes. You ever picked up somebody else's mess at work, Brother Larry? Oh, yeah. And then we wonder why. You girls, I know all of you girls have probably picked up one of your what do they call them, beasties? Is that what they call them still now? Your best friend?
Bestie.
Is that what? Like, they're not calling that anymore? I don't know. I'm trying here. Besties? Is that what it's called, besties? Listen, you can have a bestie that's a beastie, okay? I've had a lot of those bestie beasties out there. You got to watch it. We can laugh about this, but is this what we go home and we just fret over and we worry about? Sister so-and-so called. She's got this problem. I remember when the best advice that my senior pastor ever gave me was, son, when people come into your office and they got problems, remember one thing. It's their problem.
That's good.
If your marriage is broken and it's failing, it's not my problem. I'll try to help you fix it, but I'm not going to do something that you're not willing to do yourself.
Yeah.
Don't ask me if you're not willing. But this is how we live our lives. Because we struggle with setting boundaries. We struggle with setting physical boundaries, and we get ourselves so busy. And then we're frustrated because we don't have any time to ourselves. We don't have any time for family because we're so busy. We have a lot of self-employed folks, men, women in our congregation, and we can listen. You can get yourself so busy that business can be a blessing or it can be a curse. I've been on both sides of it. I've thanked God for the blessing, and then I've said, God, how can I slow this thing down? It's killing me. Just say no. Just say no. Know where your boundaries are. We have physical boundaries, and we have spiritual boundaries. And there are certain principles in God's word that we simply cannot outmaneuver. And Galatians, Paul says this in Galatians 6, 7, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You're not going to get around that. So you have to learn the process. Learn the principle. So here today, you might just be struggling. Maybe your life's out of control. Maybe you feel like you're stuck. You've grown weary by other people's stubborn choices and poor choices. And maybe you're tired because you're broke all the time. You have to learn to set those boundaries in your life. It has not been an easy process to learn. I haven't mastered this. I still struggle with this. I'm up at camp a lot. Why? Because I'm struggling with setting a boundary. Your marriage, we have to set boundaries. Spiritually, set boundaries. Children, you set boundaries. On your job, you have to set boundaries. I've talked to people that said, my boss wants me to work lots of overtime. I can't work. You have to set boundaries. So we're going to open up this altar, the front part of the church here. If you're struggling with this morning, setting boundaries, I just want to invite you to come to the front. Brother Jerry preached a marvelous Bible study, Peace Be Still. Peace Be Still. Nature had crossed the boundary. And Jesus says, okay, enough of that. I need some rest. So if you're struggling in your life, no matter what it may be, I just want to encourage you to come to the front and talk to God about that. Go ahead.
I just want to bless your name. I just want to make you glad. I just want to move your heart, God, to give you all I am. And I just want to bless your name.
I just want to make you glad.
just want to move your heart, God.
To give you all.
To give you all I am.
By your will.
It's by your will. And for your pleasure I exist.
You are worthy, Lord.
You are worthy, Lord.
Worthy, worthy, Lord.
You are worthy, Lord.
It's by your will.
It's by your will.
For you I exist.
For your pleasure I exist.
You are worthy, Lord.
You are worthy, Lord.
So worthy, Jesus.
You are worthy, Lord.
To worship you I live.
To worship you I live. To worship you I live.
Oh. my